Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our online service. Before we continue, let us just close our eyes and pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to come to you, to seek your face, to quiet our minds and our hearts, Lord, to receive from you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and bring revelation and truth to our hearts, our minds, Lord, that we may hear you clearly. God, I pray that you will instruct us, that you will teach us your ways. God, that you will show us your heart and your will for us, that we may live by it, that we may grow closer to you, that we may abide in you more, that we may know and experience more of you, of your love, your grace, and the life that you've come to give us through your Son. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my sermon this morning is Jesus' words, where he said, "I have food that you do not know of." In the past couple of weeks, we've been exploring John or Luke chapter 4 from verse 4, where Jesus was speaking to the devil in the midst of a great temptation. We saw how Jesus started his ministry after he was baptized and the Holy Spirit ascended upon him, and the Holy Spirit led him into the desert to be tempted. And Jesus was fasting for 40 days and being hungry and weak. The devil came to him, tempting him to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus responded to him with these powerful words in Luke chapter 4 from verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So we've been looking at this statement of Jesus over the last two Sundays to try and understand more of its context and its meaning. Of course, Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy 8, where Israel was in the desert and God caused them to hunger and then provide for them manna, which they do not know, so that he could teach them that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then later on, we saw how Jesus fed 5,000, a massive crowd that was hungry in a deserted place. And again, Jesus gave them food, provided for them, so that they can also see and know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then later on, Jesus so powerfully declared to them, to teach them once again, he declared that he himself is the bread of life. And he who feeds on him will have eternal life. And so Jesus was pointing to this mystery that man shall not live by the physical alone, but by something outside of him, something beyond himself, something supernatural. And that is the Word of God. And so powerfully we saw that it is the Word that became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And I want to continue on this theme. And I want us to turn to John chapter 4. And Jesus again shows us that man shall not live by this physical natural alone, but that we should live by something outside of ourselves, something from God. And so we see here in John chapter 4, and I just want to maybe just create some context before we continue. Jesus was ministering Judea, and as he was ministering and baptizing, his fame grew to such an extent that even the Pharisees took note that Jesus, under his ministry, baptized more people than John the Baptist. And it's at this point that Jesus decided to leave the crowd and the fame and go back to Galilee. And so they decided to go through Samaria to avoid the crowds and the Pharisees. And it's at this place on their journey that Jesus grew tired and hungry. And being weary, his disciples urged him to sit down at a well and rest while they go into a nearby town to buy some food. And so here we can see again where this is going. Jesus was hungry, he was weary, and his disciples went to buy food. But we know that man shall not live by food alone, by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so while Jesus was waiting for his disciples at this well, there came a woman, a Samaritan woman, with a pot, a jar to collect some water. You know, she also had a physical need. She had a physical need that she came to meet at this well, but instead she met with Jesus. And so we read here from John 4 verse 7. When the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food, and the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For the Jews do not associate with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered so powerfully, "Everyone who drinks of this water, this physical water, will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I will give him will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And I want us just to take a moment and pause here and meditate upon these words of Jesus. Please take some time to consider what Jesus said. Everyone who drinks of this physical water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again. Indeed, the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. A powerful statement that points again to our study, that man shall not live by bread alone, by the physical, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The conversation, however, continues. Jesus gives a word of knowledge concerning her five husbands and her current relationship. And she perceives that Jesus is not just an ordinary man, but perhaps a prophet. And so the conversation turns to a religious matter. And then the woman said to him, here from verse 25, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus answered her, "He who speaks to you, am he." At this point, the disciples came and they marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" And then so powerfully we read in verse 28, "And the woman left the water pot." It's so interesting. This woman came to the well because she had a physical need. But we know that man shall not live by the physical alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So this woman coming to the well with a physical need had an encounter with Jesus that changed her life completely, that sustained her with something greater than the physical, and she went back into the village. And let us read further. "The woman then left the water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But Jesus said to them so powerfully, 'I have food to eat of which you do not know.'" You know why? Because man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man shall not just live by the physical, but by that what proceeds from God. And therefore, after hearing these words with Jesus saying to them that he has food that they do not know of, therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the Father and to finish his work." A powerful statement, again pointing to the fact that man shall not live by the physical alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. "My food is to do the will of the Father and to finish his work." This is a powerful place again for us to stop and meditate upon Jesus' words. Jesus gives us insight into what it means that man shall not live by bread alone, the physical. He said, "My food is to do the will of the Father and to finish his work." What is the will of the Father? I've heard so many people ask this question, what is the will of God? Very challenging. In Matthew 7 verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What a challenging statement, that the will of the Father, knowing the will of the Father and doing the will of the Father, is what gives us access to heaven. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom, but he who does the will of the Father. The will of the Father is not just important for us for our own lives, it's important for us as our way into the kingdom of God. And so many people ask this question. It's a very important question. What is the will of the Father? You know, the will of the Father is not a mystery. From the beginning of Genesis all the way to the end of Revelations, the will of God has been recorded for us. We can read it, see it. We can understand, meditate upon it, and apply it in our lives. It has been granted for us through the ages that we may know what is the will of the Father. The will of the Father is not a mystery. My child, I want you to honor your mother and father. My son, I want you to love your wife as I have loved the church and gave myself for her. My daughter, I want you to submit to your own husband as the church submits to Christ. I want you to give to the poor, defend the widow and the orphan. And so the lists continue of God's will for us. I've heard so many people inquiring, even to me, what is God's will for their life? And yes, God does have a will for our lives. He does have a specific plan and purpose for each and every life. But that will and purpose is only found within the general will of God. It is when we seek the will of God and live the will of God that we find our own purpose within His purpose. It is when we are obedient to the commandments of God that we draw closer to God. Every time I'm obedient to the will of God, to God's commandments, I move closer to where God is. And when I'm disobedient of God's will and commandments, I move further away from Him. Yet when I'm close to Him, it's in this place of obedience and doing the will of God that I find my own purpose. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom of heaven, but only the one that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. This Greek word for does the will is the Greek present participle, which implies a continuous ongoing behavior. Jesus is describing someone who is habitually, continually doing the will of God. Not just once off of every once in a while, but somebody that continues in the will, in the commandments of God. And so we can ask ourselves in this context, what is the most important? What is the most important will? What is the most important commandment of God? Those questions was also asked to Jesus. But I want us to turn to 1 John 3 verse 23 because it explains, it summarizes so explicitly what is the most important will of God and what is the effect and the purpose of it in our lives. Here in 1 John 3 verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now he who keeps His commandments abide in Him and He in him. How powerful this is. That the will of God is expressed in His commandments, and it can be summarized in this, that we must believe in His Son and love one another. And as we keep His commandments, live His commandments, He abides in us and we in Him. That is what Jesus meant when He said that I'm not just sustained by the physical. I'm not just sustained by bread alone. But I am sustained by the very words of God, the very will, the commandments of God. In doing God's will, he was abiding in God, and that sustained him far more than physical food. In John 15, verse 9, we read, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Doing the will of God, believing in the Son of God, and loving one another is the summary of the will of God. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the Father, and then also so powerfully, to finish his work. You see, Jesus was sent on a mission. Jesus was given a commission, and that was to finish the work of God, the work that God purposed him to do, the work that God gave him, commissioned him, to die for us as a sin offering so that we may have redemption, so that we may have salvation. That mission, that work that was given, that commission is what also sustained Jesus. We too were given a mission. We too were given a commission. As the children of God, we are being given this privilege to also receive a work, a mission, and a commission. Jesus was sent to die for the world that through faith in him, all of humanity can be saved. And Jesus finished that work. We have a similar work. We have a similar mission and commission. Our work is to take this good news, this gospel of what God has done for us through Christ and share it with the world so that others too may come to believe in him. That is our work, given to us by God, our commission. And Jesus emphasizes this in John chapter 4 from verse 34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I have sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. So powerfully, Jesus points to the work of God. Jesus makes a powerful statement. He says, the harvest is already white, but he starts off with this powerful challenge that you say, it's still 4 months, and then comes the harvest. It was a saying in the time, almost like we use today when we say Rome wasn't built in a day. When it says that it takes time, it takes 4 months before the harvest. It takes 4 months to plow the soil, to sow the seed, to water the seed, to wait for the seed to grow up to maturity, and only then comes the harvest. And Jesus says, but I want you to look up, look at me. I say to you, the harvest is already white. In other words, if you leave it any longer, it's going to rot. It is time for the harvest. And so often when we look at the world, we say, it's going to take time. We still need to plow. This is hard soil. And we need to seed and water and wait for this harvest to come. And Jesus says, no, look up at me. Look at me. I say to you, it's already white. I was just sitting at a well. I had a 5-minute conversation with the woman, and she went back, and look, the whole town is coming. The harvest is white. We read here in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. And so when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with him. And he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. And here is the point. So powerfully illustrated to us that we too have a commission. We have a mandate. We have a mission to share with the world that what God has done for us. To share with the world our encounter with God. Our experience with God. As this woman did, going back to her city, boldly, not being afraid, shared what God had done for her, shared this encounter, and because of her testimony, the whole city came to the Lord. The harvest is truly white. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every commandment of God. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. Here's the question for us today. Are we willing to live not by bread alone? Are we willing to live not only by the physical, but to live by something outside of ourselves, something greater than ourselves? God is asking us today, I believe, are you willing to step out in faith and not just live by what you see, but live by what I say, by what I command, by my will and my purpose? Are we willing to take that step of faith and to pursue the will of God every day, asking Him, living it, and pursuing it? John 6 verse 40 says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day. And then, of course, Matthew 28 from verse 18 that we know so well, our great commission. Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth had been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And listen to this, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The question this morning is, are you willing? Are you willing to receive, to accept, and to embrace the will of God for your life, for all of our lives, that we shall be like that woman, not just living by the physical, but living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that we will be bold in our faith to share our testimony and the gospel of what God has done for us. That we may too be part of this great adventure to see the harvest coming in, because the harvest is plentiful. It's the laborers that are few. And so I believe this morning God is encouraging us not just to understand what He meant, but to live what He meant. That we can be part of this great kingdom that starts as small as a mustard seed and grows to become the largest tree in the garden. And so I want to encourage you to consider this morning. Consider how you will live your life from this day on. Consider to embrace God's will and to live it as your mission and purpose. And you too will discover the supernatural power that sustains us through our circumstances. And I pray that this will be really our response this morning. And I want us to close our eyes as we pray together. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you encourage us, Lord. That we shall not just live by what we see and the natural around us, but that we shall live by every word, every commandment, that we shall live by your will. Thank you, God, that we can see in Christ, Lord, that is what sustained him far more than what was around him. Lord, I pray that it will become true for each and every one of us. Lord, that we will hunger and thirst not just for the natural, but that we will hunger and thirst for you. That we will not just eat and be satisfied in this world, but that we'll be eat and satisfy in you. That we will truly eat your flesh, Lord, drink your blood, ask for your water and for your bread. Lord, that we will seek your will and your kingdom first. As you taught us to pray, Lord, to first ask you for your kingdom to come and your will to be done before we ask for our daily bread. I thank you, Father, that you say that if we seek your kingdom and your righteousness first, all these other things will be added to us. And God, so I pray, Lord, that this will become real in our lives, Lord. That each and every one, as we respond to you today, Lord, will experience your presence, your provision, and the supernatural strength that you give through your Son and your Word, your Spirit that is within us. God, I pray that we will leave our homes, Lord, excited about this future ahead of us, Lord. That we will not be afraid, Lord, but that we'll be bold in knowing that you are with us always as we continue with you in your purpose. And God, I thank you, Lord, that as we do, Lord, you will provide, you will bless, you will comfort, you will strengthen, and you will be with us. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Amen.